music. Welcome back to Second City Sports, ChicagolandSportsRadio.com. Lakina, Kevin, Jason, and Romy. We're going to have someone who hopefully will be a show staple here. You can read his stuff on ChicagoTribune.com. He talks Bulls and NBA. He's been doing it for years. Case at Casey J Hoop on Twitter. He is the one, the only Casey Johnson. Casey, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. Nice job.
Pretty good.
Nice job, Kevin. That
was my fault. But we're doing pretty good. Thanks for coming on. Really excited to talk about this. We actually got you on at a perfect time, new CBA and all of that, so we can really dive into it. But first, we just saw the Bulls blow a 21-point lead against Tom Thibodeau, no less. So they didn't do their jobs. You being there, give us your take on the game and what really led to just that really just catastrophic blow-up late in that game.
You know, I just think it's a matter of this team is really inconsistent, and I do also think they struggle with teams that are athletic, and while the Timberwolves are young, they're very athletic. You know, the Timberwolves kept leaking out for fast break baskets, and the Bulls weren't getting back in transition defense. They were getting beat on the offensive board, but it's actually been a strength for them this season. So it was a bad loss, no question. You know, I think the Thibodeau aspect was – you know, it was fun for us, but it was really downplayed. Once the game started, Tom just wants to beat whoever he's playing.
Right.
Exactly. So, Casey, they're 13-11 now. They're kind of right in that logjam with just about everybody else in the East, with the exception of the Cavs and the Raptors. Can this Bulls team get together? Do they need to make any moves? Do they just need to get MCW back? What do you think the Bulls have to do to at least keep them like in that logjam?
Yeah, I think MCW will actually help them quite a bit. He obviously had fallen out of favor with the Bucks, but he actually fits very well for what the Bulls need. You know, they need defense, they need positional size. I think he'll play a pretty big role for the Bulls once he's healthy. But I mean, he's not, you know, the answer to a title team, so I don't think anybody expected that this season. I'd be surprised if the Bulls made a big move during the season. I think their plan is just hope that Wade opts in and brings one of his buddies next to him.
Oh, hi, it's Romy. So we're going to switch. I'm going to start talking about the Golden State Warriors. Now, this was our number one team for the past 2 years, and we're kind of seeing, you know, this. They're winning games. They're still the number one in the Pacific, but they're losing these games that they should just have in the bag, like against the Grizzlies, the Lakers, the Rockets. What do you think, and they were also called the powerhouse team after getting Kevin Durant. What do you think is something they need to do if they want to go back to being the top champions in the NBA?
Well, I mean, I think this team obviously has its sights set on June. It's obviously going to try to play as well as it can during the regular season, but, you know, when you add a guy like Kevin Durant, you've got to figure out how to play with a new dynamic scorer. Obviously, they're an incredibly talented team, but I don't think they're too troubled with any losses during the regular season as long as they're still going to be a one or two seed in the West. You know, this is a team that chased for the record last year, got it, but mm-hmm. then didn't get the prize. So I think their focus is less on the regular season this year and more on the playoffs.
Hi, Casey. It's Jason. So let's stick with some sort of general NBA. So listen, last night you've got, you know, the big three for Cleveland sitting out, resting the game. You've also got a guy like DeMarcus Cousins who's in his 20s sitting out because of quote-unquote rest last night. You've been around the league a long time. Give us your thoughts about this thing about players just taking random days off.
I mean, it's not going back. There's a lot of people that kind of hearken for the old days. And, I mean, I covered the Jordan era. I mean, it's pretty remarkable if you look at Jordan's season, games played each season. I mean, and he wasn't the only one. Guys like Karl Malone and John Stockton hardly ever missed a game. So that's the way the NBA used to be. It's no longer that way. There's, you know, so much attention on it now, but this is the way the league is now, is guys take days off. They treat the regular season differently than they used to. I don't see it changing anytime soon. I think this is just the way pro sports teams have gone, and people are more cognizant of rest and maxing out for the playoffs, so they're going to be smarter for regular season usage. I don't really have a strong opinion one way or the other. I mean, I covered both eras. One was fine, and this one's fine, too. If this is what they want to do, I always say, like, players know best. So if Michael Jordan wanted to play all 82 games and play 39 minutes a night, God bless him. If Dwayne Wade wants to skip the second game of a back-to-back, God bless him. I mean, yeah, they know their bodies better than anybody.
Casey, you talked about, you know, hopefully Wade opting in and bringing one of his buddies. And so we talked about with the new tentative changes to the CBA, you know, pending it getting ratified, teams now, you know, able to extend two players 6 years instead of five, and as well as the over 36 rule becoming the over 38 rule, allowing teams to hold on to young superstars as well as aging superstars. How do you think rule changes like that in the CBA affects Chicago as a free agent destination when these players can get more money to stay where they are?
Yeah, I mean, it's the CBA always will favor team players re-signing with their teams. That's just the way CBA is always going to work. You know, Dwayne Wade left Miami last season. No one ever expected that to happen. You can never, to me, I've always said you can never predict free agency. It's an incredible game of musical chairs. There's obviously going to be a ton of money around for a lot of people next summer. I don't think it's likely that Wade will opt in and bring one of his buddies with him, but that's certainly what the Bulls are hoping happens. As far as how this new CBA affects the Bulls specifically, I actually haven't really even processed the whole CBA yet.
No.
You know, I just think that, you know, again, it's always going to be set up for guys to re-sign with their own teams and make more money. And then if they think teaming up with one of their buddies gives them a better chance to win a championship and they're able or just, you know, okay with taking less money to do that, then that's what they may do.
So it just as far as, you know, players – a lot of these rule changes just seem like reactions to super teams. Would you agree that a lot of these changes are just the league trying to curb creating super teams, becoming a trend?
Yeah, but they tried to do that at the last CBA and it didn't work. So, I mean, it's like, you know, the whole last lockout was about creating parity and, you know, trying to have more competitive balance for the smaller market teams. And then immediately you had, you know, Wade and James and guys, you know, manipulate the system and guys do what they want and guys do the short-term deals with the opt-outs. And I mean, there's always going to be ways for guys to get around stuff. If guys want to play together, they're going to figure out a way to do it. That's what it comes down to at the end of the day. They may have to take a little bit less money, but if guys are going to want to play together, they'll figure out a way to do it.
Absolutely. Talking to Casey Johnson on Second City Sports. Now, Casey, Nico Mirotic, I mean, I don't know if it's going to take him shaving the beard. Some people are saying that maybe the system he's in, that, you know, it just isn't working for him, that Hoiberg's not using him right. What's wrong with Nico?
Yeah, I kind of think this is who he is. You know, and he was touted as going to be a big piece. And, I mean, this is year three. I think that if he was going to be that, it would have happened by now. I think there's obvious games where you can see a skill level. I mean, he's got, you know, a lot of size. He's actually a good defensive rebounder. Obviously has some games where he hits very deep threes and can put the ball on the floor, but he just doesn't do it consistently enough, and you just don't know what you're going to get from a game-to-game basis. And this was not – you can't say this is a young player anymore, because beyond the fact that he's in year three of the NBA, he also played professionally before he came over here. So, I mean, you can't – I kind of feel like this is who he is. And the Bulls are going to have a tough decision with him following the season with him being up.
All right, Casey, it's Jason again. So, you touched on him. We talked about him a little bit earlier. So, what's the latest update on Michael Carter-Williams? You know, what's kind of the latest timetable on him coming back? And spinning it forward, who do you kind of see sort of getting their minutes and rotations diminished as far as when he does come back?
Well, at least as according to my inbox, most people hope it's Isaiah Cannon.
Yum. Good. Yeah.
Yes, please.
Fans are a little tired of that dude. So Michael's going to be re-examined Friday again. He's been in a soft cast for that bone chip in his left wrist. And if all goes well with that doctor examination, he could be cleared for practice next week with the possibility of playing late next week. So he's obviously gone past the 4 to 6 week timeline. that they originally threw out October 31st when the injury happened. But you know, I do think he's, you know, barring a setback, I think he's back within a week or 10 days here.
So we see that the Bulls have been outscored in the fourth quarter in, what, like nine straight games now. So, yeah, they're going to be roster changes and, you know, injuries, people coming back from injuries and all of that, getting the young guys more minutes. Casey, Dwayne Wade has been pretty – he's been good as we ever could have imagined. You know, he's second in shooting.
Right.
He's doing really good. I want to know how proactive do you think Fred will be in starting to get him rest, even if giving him less minutes now would negatively impact the team?
Well, it's already happening just in terms of his practice plan. I mean, he's barely practicing. He's, you know, he's observing and he's there, but he's not doing much. And most teams at this point of the NBA season kind of downshift in terms of live scrimmaging and a lot of stuff anyway. It's mostly just going over sets, film review, reviewing the opponent's stuff. So there aren't really many full-blown out practices in today's NBA anymore once you get to December. But even when they are doing drills, he's sitting a lot of those out. So that's kind of the maintenance plan. And then obviously you've seen them be smart with back-to-backs. I would guess, and you know, we'll find out tonight, but I would guess he'd play in this back-to-back because it's a very minimal impact one in terms of busing up to Milwaukee, playing a game, and then busing back Chicago and playing another game. But the more grueling or taxing back-to-backs, they've sat him down. And I think that's the way to go. I mean, you need this guy to be good in April and May if you make the playoffs and win a round. You don't need him right now. And he's been very good when he's played. Had a couple of clunkers. I don't think he played particularly well against the Timberwolves. But for the most part, I agree with you. He's been very, very good, better than we probably could have expected. And I think they're using him the right way with the end goal in mind more than what's going on right now.
Minute or two with Casey Johnson. Now, Casey, Russell Westbrook, he didn't get a triple-double, but he said himself that he doesn't really give a bleep about that. So him and what CP3's been doing with the Clippers, who do you think's the MVP? I know it's still very, very early. We're not even like a third through the season yet, but who do you think's the MVP so far?
Well, the best player on the planet remains LeBron James, but given that, you know, he is – being smart about the regular season, I'd be surprised if he wins the MVP this year. So my preseason pick was Westbrook. I just felt like he was going to go berserk with Durant gone, and nothing that we've seen to this point has changed that. Obviously, MVP is one of the more difficult awards to predict because everybody has different criteria which they use to vote for it. Oklahoma City may not win a lot this year or at least be a dominant team. So that may impact some voters' minds, but I think he's just going to put up ridiculous numbers throughout the season. So I'm going to stick with my preseason pick for now.
Okay, talking about LeBron, I know this happened a while ago, but I really want to hear your opinion. How did you feel about LeBron and the other couple Cavs players doing the water bottle challenge off to the side? Like, I've heard mixed reviews about it. I've heard, like, it's never anyone just teeter-totter. They hate it or they like it. So I want to know, Casey, how do you feel about it?
Well, I hate it when my kids do it at the breakfast table. But I don't,
see, there you go.
I don't mind what LeBron did there. I know it bothered some people, but I think I don't even know the exact specifics. Wasn't it? You guys can help me out. Wasn't it like the last 30 seconds or something?
Yeah, it was like, they had a fair enough lead where they
like
knew they were going to win.
You have like a 30 point lead.
I knew it was a blowout, and I knew so. But I mean, to me, time on clock would play a little bit of a factor in it. So I didn't really have that big of a problem.
Right, the whole starting line was on the bench.
Yeah, but actually, probably was bad because my kids saw the video and now they're still doing the bottle flip every breakfast and it's driving me insane.
I'm sure it's annoying too.
All right, Casey, back to the Bulls. So, listen, at the time when the Bulls drafted Bobby Portis, I liked the pick, but it seems like he's completely fallen out of grace with Fred Hoiberg. Talk to us a little bit about what you're, you know, obviously not seeing from Portis and what he can kind of do to sort of get back in the rotation.
Yeah, I mean, he's just regressed, and there's no other way to put it now. He had a rotational chance. Philly still started the season in rotation, and then they went to Bobby for a while. And Bobby, I think, has showed slightly better shot awareness in terms of he's not jacking it every time he touches it like he did last year. But defensively, he still gets in foul trouble and looks a little lost at times to me. And then more troubling, it just seemed like last year he had a little bit of an impact with rim running and, you know, just forcefully running down court every time. And I didn't see that as consistently this season as what I saw last season. And, you know, the little blip that he made early in last season, you got to remember that the NBA is one of the best advanced scouted leagues in pro sports.
Sure.
And people probably hadn't done a lot of work on him, and now they have. So they kind of know his game, and I think that's playing a little bit of a factor as well. But I would guess, you know, just given injuries and craziness and circumstances, he'll get another chance, and he's got to take advantage of it because he's a first-round pick, and the Bulls are counting to be part of the rotation, and he did not take advantage of it the first time.
On the line with Casey Johnson from the Chicago Tribune. Casey, I don't know if you know this, but here at the Illinois Media School, as far as the Windy City Bulls go, the students actually run the video and radio broadcast for the games. I want to get your opinion on the Windy City Bulls and how the organization, how they like having their own D-League team now to, you know, send players back and forth.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can just see the way they've used it, how much they like it. I mean, they've got a hand-picked guy that was the video coordinator for the Big Bulls last season as the head coach, so they're running the exact same stuff. It's the same playbook. They, beyond the fact they can throw guys down there for a game or two who may not have played for a while, they can even do it for a practice. And as I mentioned before, NBA teams don't do a lot of full-scale practicing at this point of the season. The D-League does. So you can throw a guy down there like R.J. Hunter or Jaren Grant or Paul Zipser or whoever and get him some good conditioning, good work within the system, and that's exactly what young players need. So I think, you know, the Bulls would say it's been a pretty ideal success. I don't even know what the one loss record is. I know the Bulls probably do, but I guarantee you they're looking at things far beyond the one loss record for the Windy City Bulls.
Especially with the new CBA, we see the new two-way contracts giving, you know, the franchises the ability to keep players down there to develop them, which would expand the max roster to like 17. So I guess one of the questions I was wondering is, with the also the D-League salary also about to double, how much do you think that would affect teams going after overseas players when now that D-League salaries can't compete with overseas salaries?
I mean, I think it just gives a better chance it's probably better for players here. I mean, that, you know, before D-League wasn't that attractive, or may not have been as attractive as overseas opportunities. And now I think with that change, I think you'll see guys maybe give that a little bit more serious look. Plus, you're seeing more teams do what the Bulls did. Actually, the Bulls are kind of late to the party. A lot of teams have done what the Bulls are just doing now with the affiliate nearby. So I think you're ultimately going to probably see that with all 30 teams. Got teams that are just closely aligned with their parent club and have it be a true minor league, and more competitive salaries will certainly help that.
At KCJ Hoop on Twitter, Casey, thank you so much for joining us. We got to get you on again. This is some great Bulls and NBA talk as always.
Okay, thanks for having me. Take care.
You as well. Stay warm. Stay warm up in Milwaukee tonight.